information presented on For the People is provided as general legal information. The general legal information is intended to inform consumers, is not intended to substitute for specific legal advice as it relates to the listener's specific legal issue. Consumers are cautioned not to rely on the general legal information broadcast on For the People as legal advice. No attorney-client relationship is created, intended, or implied between the consumers of For the People and Deborah Rainey Esquire, the Compassionate Lawyer, or the Law Office of Deborah D. Rainey. Please consult with an attorney for your specific legal issue.
We the People says the Constitution, created for creating solutions. However, we the people lack the understanding. Legal terms and conditions sound written on another planet. Our rights we take for granted, often signing away our chances, cause we don't really know the circumstances. I swear I can't stand it. Then we're so demanding, quick to throw up a picket sign in the streets to exercise our freedom of speech, when the situation could have been avoided from the start if we the people conquered basic knowledge of the law. So this is for the people. Law in plain language, breaking it down for us in layman terms. Deb expressing her compassion and will for us to learn, not for a check but to address how to win in these streets. This show is for you. This show is for me. It's for the people. What's up, what's up, what's up? Y'all know what time it is. It must be Tuesday night at 8 o'clock for the people, law in plain language in your ear. Yo, you remember that Craig Mack John kicking brand new flavor in your ear?
In your ear.
Here come the brand new flavor in your ear. Coming at you all the way from gtownradio.com, the sound from Germantown. This is Black the Broke Poet. I'm in the studio with the compassionate lawyer, Deborah Rainey, playing on her phone. But it's all right. She's going to be on the mic in no time. We got Cheddar on the boards, holding it down for simply the producer.
Right.
We got my man Mac in the building. T Macaroni, what's the deal, baby?
Oh, man, I'm chill. I'm just glad to be here on another Deb show. You know, I like sitting around.
Another Deb show. I know that's right.
Yeah.
I lean to the unpoet in the background, shaking her head, like, don't say my name. Tell her we not shy
hello,
around here.
Hello.
So it's 8 o'clock. I'm going to give it to the host, Deborah Rainey.
What's up? What's up? What's up? What's up, Black? Thanks for holding it down. All right, y'all heard that little banter in the beginning. That was the youngsters doing their thing, because I have no idea what the hell they was talking about.
So you don't remember Craig Mack?
Right.
I know you remember Craig Mack. That is your era.
Okay, thank you so much. Anything that's cracking Mac, I ain't messing with it.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to For the People, Law and Plain Language on www.gtownradio.com.
The sound from Germantown.
Booyah!
I don't know what happened right there, because I hear you. Right. I don't know what happened.
Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we are doing a show that I coined, Ignorance of the Law Don't Protect You. Why I say that? Because that's what I felt last night when I was putting it together, so that's why I say it.
Right.
Really, really fast, what's up to my fam, the Broken Truth Show crew in the house.
What up?
They are co-joined with our family. T Macaroni ain't a damn thing phony.
Ain't a damn thing phony.
I just wanted to say that because I like it.
T Macaroni right there.
And Eileena, the unpoet, sitting back there all scored. She need to get up in here.
I'll be scared.
She's scared.
So, ladies and gentlemen, tonight is a free-for-all. We like when we have free-for-alls because the family gets to do their thing. Before we go any further, shout out to Aunt Robin. Aunt Robin, I hope you're feeling better. We miss you.
Indeed. Yes.
Shout out to Keishla. Keishla, work hard. Make that money.
Come bring us all.
And a special, special shout out to Simply the Producer. I know she's listening. Y'all, she's stressed out. If y'all recall, she's in a PhD program and she's doing statistics. Oh, my God.
Wow. Ooh, I just had statistics.
I can barely spell it, so imagine doing it.
I can't even pronounce
it. Forget about what you did in high school. Forget about what you did in undergrad. Forget about what you did in master's. Come on up to the doctorate level and you can imagine how stressful it is.
Oh, no.
So Simply the Producer, we love you. You can hold it down, girl. Go ahead.
Straight like that.
Last week, ladies and gentlemen, we did our show. It was called What? If You Don't Vote, You Don't Get to Bitch.
Wow.
And what's really, really important is the general election is coming up on next Tuesday, as a matter of fact, a week from tonight, November 5th. Why is that important? Well, because there are several folks running for judge. And like Dane Gray and Sean Stevens, who were our in-studio guests last week, shout out to Sean Stevens, shout out to Dane, and Tracy, who called us on the phone, Tracy Brandeis Roman, all three of them ran for judge in the primaries in and amongst the pay-to-play system, and they didn't make it. We learned that the primary was the way that the parties dwindle down those main folk who are actually going to be on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
There are a number of judges up for retention this year, too. Retention means a judge has been on the bench every 10 years. They have to be reelected, and it's pretty much a done deal. But just in case, one judge that I'm going to endorse right here over the mic, because I told her I would, and she's my mentor, is Judge Janice Brinkley, graduate of Temple Law School. Mm. She's from Temple. Tennessee.
Yeah,
she has a reputation of being a very tough, stern, but she's also a fair judge. And Judge, remember what I told you? It's only marijuana.
You know what? That's an understatement.
Only marijuana.
Only.
When I was a public defender, I was in Judge Brinkley's room my last year before I left the office, and we would have, you know, battles with respect to that. But what I will say about Judge Brinkley that we need in more of our judges is that she is very, very tough. Hmm. People that know they have her coming up as a back judge will do all that they need to do to get the hell away from her. But she's also fair, and that's what's important. So when you go to the polls on November 5th, vote for Judge Janice Brinkley for retention, Tamika Lane for judge, Giovanni Campbell, J. Scott O'Keefe for municipal court judge. I put some of the names on the Facebook page. And another disclaimer out there, ladies and gentlemen, those folks that I am now endorsing, G-Town Radio does not endorse, nor assist, nor have anything to do with the judges that I'm putting out there to endorse. It's not coming from G-Town Radio. It's coming from For the People Law and Plain Language.
Yeah.
Last week's show, even though it was an election show, was off the damn chain.
Just right.
We had a question that will stay with me for a long time, and it wasn't a question. It was a statement from a sister in Jamaica.
In Jamaica.
And Mariana said, in essence, in a nutshell, black people, shame on you. If Dr. Indeed. King and his people was alive, or even though they're dead, they rolling over in their graves because y'all too lazy and too trifling to get your butts out to the polls and to vote.
Right.
So, Mariana, good looking. We had some other interesting comments and questions. There was a guy that sent us a text message. I don't remember where he was from, somewhere down south. But all he said is, who cares about voting? Our government sucks. We might as well blow it up.
Wow.
And it scared me because I'm like, well, damn, you one of them doomsday prepper dudes. Y'all exactly. watch that doomsday.
I was feeling him, though.
Yeah, I was too.
Chatter, I was standing alone.
Chattering black.
Oh, yeah, Cheddar had my back all day. Shout out to Cheddar.
What us gonna do? There ain't so many of them. What us gonna do?
Right.
And Sean and Dane and I said, it's the only system we got. We got to live in the system that we got.
Yeah, y'all tried to jump us.
But our job as citizens is to make it better.
Right.
Not to back up and run away, but to make what we have better. If you missed that show or any of our shows, you can subscribe to us in iTunes for the People Law and Plain Language. Find us on the Podomatic page, forthepeople.podomatic.com, or go to my website, deborahraylaw.com. As always, you got legal questions, you got legal comments, hit the studio line.
215-609-4301, or you can hit up the text line at 215-435-4099.
You gotta say it. Say the thing.
Tweet us.
Tweet us.
At FTP Law.
Before we go into tonight's show, I gotta do one of those. Remember Arsenio? His old show was good. The one he got now is whack as hell.
It's whack.
It's whack. And he's skinny, but still got that big ass.
But I don't know about. I don't know about.
She
the
said Arsenio
ass,
had a donkey.
But he is skinny.
He got a donkey for real. No. Like, he about 20.
He's a twig now.
Listen, he had that segment called "Things That Make You Go Hmm." I'm going to do something called What the WTF.
I like that.
Yeah, I dig that.
Let me ask all of y'all a question. Listeners, y'all chime in, will you? Why you go to a pub? What's the purpose of going to a bathroom? What you do in the bathroom? What do you expect to happen in the bathroom?
Well, I expect you to handle your business,
wash
your
hands. You're going to either pay your water bill or you're going to take out the trash, right?
Exactly.
Indeed.
Why then, when folk come into a public restroom and there's some remnants of someone having taken out the trash.
Right.
And they got to make comments. Ew, why you do that in here? Well, what would you like me to do? In the hallway?
In the hallway.
On the floor? I mean, and there were five women in the... I'm sorry. I was in the bathroom at the CJC.
Yeah.
Taking out my trash.
Right.
And people was in there complaining.
Right.
What
right.
would you... And I finally said, excuse me, ladies. Clearly, you're referring to me. Where else would I? Would you like me to do this? Yeah.
I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall at that moment.
I would have paid my money.
One lady said, you know, we're so sorry. We're just not used to it. Well, where do you take your trash out at?
Right.
On your kitchen floor?
Clearly.
Come on.
Clearly. Right. The living room.
So I said, listen, I'm smoking a cigarette so I can help you out.
Right. Right.
Dilute sorry, y'all. I had to get that out. Stay tuned, too. Deb's going to go on another really quick rant, and it's, listen. Deb going to their own horn tonight, and I told Black a little bit what went down, but we'll deal with that later. First question, huh?
All right, I got the first question over here in the tuck. This is Black the Broke Poet, by the way.
Once again, thank you to all the listeners who send us text messages, emails. And can y'all do me a favor real fast? Those of you that send us emails, I know this ain't no academic class, but damn, do a spell check, please.
For sure.
Please, you make us sound crazy.
Because you make me sound like I can't read.
Do not type how you talk. Do not type how you talk.
But if you do type how you talk, give a bitch a guide or something.
Right.
Like, right.
You
this
know
is
Ebonics. On the old maps, it used to have a little key down the bottom to say, this symbol mean that. Do that for me. Go ahead.
If I see a text message with a key on the bottom, you know what? All right. This is from Marvin that just left the joint.
Stop, Marvin.
That's what he. His name is Marvin. Just left the joint.
So he just got out.
Yeah, Marvin, and it's real right now.
Marvin, dude, you clearly are older because I don't think they said joint.
The joint. I thought he was talking about stick of weed.
Personally, I thought he was talking about a stick of weed. Though.
See, now they just being smart, Alex. Marvin, what's up, baby?
All right, so shout out to Marvin for showing us some love. Marvin says, I spent the last 10 years in jail for bank robbery. Before I went to jail, I was getting SSI.
Marvin, baby, I hope you put some money away.
Jesus Christ.
Did you bury it in the yard?
So it says, before I went to jail, I was getting SSI for my schizophrenia. What I got to do to get my SSI back?
Leave Marvin alone. He just spent 10 years in the joint. And they don't give education classes in the joint.
Or Marvin, just go back to being a schizophrenia.
This is my question. If you robbed the bank.
Who robbed the bank? Was it him or his people?
No, he said
it wasn't him. If he got schizophrenia,
Marvin said he robbed the bank. Okay. So Marvin, if you robbed the bank, I'm just wondering, why did you rob the bank if you was on SSI in first place?
Do you know how much SSI is?
No, I don't.
I'm a payee for a young man who's 21. He gets $710 a month. Live off that. That's all he gets.
Exactly. Oh,
I'm from the hood, so I probably could stretch the budget a little bit.
He from the hood too.
But
do he have other expenses?
Yes, he does. His rent is $350 a month. Oh. His cell phone bill is $97 a month.
Well, what plan he got?
$115 unlimited on T-Mobile.
Go to Metro.
You need a Metro
Cricket.
Or get a Barack Obama phone. Do that.
Yeah, the free joints. No, 250 free minutes a month.
Marvin,
but
I think you're asking, what do you got to do to get your SSI turned back on? We have to let them know that you are now out of custody.
Indeed.
Okay. Refile for your SSI. Anytime that you saw the psychiatrist or a psychologist or the therapist or the interns, whatever the hell they have, wherever you are, because you know they ain't got no qualified people, right? Make sure that you send to the SSI folks copies of all of your mental health evaluations, your mental health calls, all those doctor calls that you may have had in the joint. Also, make sure that you accompany with that copies of everything, all the prescription medication that they gave you, and anything that's changed, gotten worse or better, or has stayed the same since you were first given SSI before you went to jail. And ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who don't know, when you're locked up, your SSI stops, your food stamps stop, your cash assistance stop. If it doesn't stop because you did not notify the state that you got this money while you're locked up and they find out about it later, be prepared for them to come back at you to get that money back and maybe even try to charge you with the violation of welfare fraud.
Gotcha.
Your welfare statute. So it's really serious. If you get locked up and you're on
like TANF, I knew I was going to jail today, okay.
But once you're locked up, make sure someone on your behalf contacts him and says, hey, he's in jail, cut him off. People don't do it, and I'm telling you right now, they're starting to crack down on welfare fraud.
Wow.
And welfare fraud is akin to a crime of dishonesty, and it will put you in just a tougher employment boat as being convicted of a felony. So it's really serious. And with our governor, Tom Ridge, cutting all the programs to us, you need to take every advantage that you can.
Yeah.
Marvin, glad you're back out. Listen, I want you, if you have, obviously you got a computer, you're sending us a message. I want you to type into your browser, Returning Citizens, Thomas Ford, a good friend of For the People.
Exit Us,
has a wonderful program called Exit Us. Also, brother, oh my God, I just forgot my boy's name.
Brother John Dye?
John Dye, forget John Dye. Oh, my God. He has the Center for Returning Citizens. Either one of those programs will be great for you to reach out to. And also, you can. There are nonprofit groups like CLS, PLA. They may be able to help you get your SSI turned back on as well. Thanks, Marvin. Good looking. Stay out the joint, but
before
dude.
You skip past that, so what you mean? Well, so what you're saying is, if you do welfare fraud, then that means that's just as bad as committing any kind of felony.
Well, understand that in the law, anyway, any crime involving dishonesty puts your character at issue. So if you ever face another criminal charge of some sort, that can be used against you to call you a person of no good character. You're a liar.
Right.
And to me, if you cheat welfare, you're a liar and a fraud any damn way because you're taking money away from people that need it.
Exactly.
True. Okay.
Next question.
All right, so we got Holly from Connecticut. Shout out to Holly.
Holly from Connecticut. What's up?
All right, so Holly says, I moved out of state with my two girls and my domestic partner. I unfortunately had to return because of no job, and we moved in with my domestic partner's mother. I am now forbidden from coming into the house and not being permitted to see my girls. Although my partner is the father of the girls, he is not on the birth certificate and there is no custody order in place. The whole thing came as a complete shock to me. What are my options?
Wow.
It's very unfortunate.
Well, I have to be honest. When she said domestic partner, I presumed lesbian. So, see, that's
too.
What you get. And and guess what?
Holly, y'all? Does that give it away a little bit?
I mean, her, but when she said domestic partner.
Oh,
it's rare to hear the woman refer to her non-husband as domestic partner. They say my boyfriend, you know.
Right. True indeed.
Holly, first and foremost, it depends on two things. One, were the kids born and raised in Connecticut? Where were they born and raised at? She didn't say, right? But she's from Connecticut, right? First thing you need to do is go to wherever the kid, whatever state has jurisdiction over the kids, 6 months or more continuous residency, file for child custody. And then you want to perhaps file for a protection from abuse because obviously he's abusing you. He's keeping you away from your kids for no good reason. Unfortunately, if there's no custody order in place, if you go back and listen to my old custody shows, possession really is, y'all, 9/10 of the law.
Okay.
He got the kids right now. He got custody. He can pretty much do what he wants. She can't even call the police and ask for assistance because there's no legal order in place.
It doesn't even sound like it's him, though. From the way the question is formed, it sounds like that it's the mother that's saying that, all right, you're not allowed to come in here. I don't care if the kids are here.
Well, but then how come the baby daddy not standing up for her?
True indeed. You need to check your baby daddy.
You need to stop being a little B-I-T-C-H and a mama's boy.
Right.
And look out for your baby mama. Come on now.
Yeah. Or check your mom. Talk to your mom. That's your mother.
Holly, in all honesty, you need to go to the state that has jurisdiction over those kids. Or go straight. If you're in Pennsylvania, which I think you said you are here now, go down to 34 South 11th Street. File a petition for custody of those children. You can battle out the jurisdiction thing once you start the custody process. But you need to go somewhere and file that order as fast as possible. Hit us up if you got a question. Comment 215-609-4301.
Or send us a text at 215-435-4099.
Or tweet us.
Or tweet us.
Yeah, they just love that.
They keep taking my thing. All right, so next question, Chad.
All right, next question is from Al from Somerton, New Jersey.
Shout out to New Jersey.
All right. I went to an early Halloween party at a friend's house last weekend. I did not drink because I was the DD, the designated driver, but one of my boys got stupid, sloppy drunk. He refused.
White boy wasted.
Right. I wonder if I was
See,
white.
Al could be black. It could be Al.
But if he's
average.
White, is it still called white boy wasted?
It's still white boy wasted. Black, white, green, purple, white boy wasted.
White boy
wasted. Okay, I'm a white boy that got white boy wasted.
I'm sorry. See, y'all, my team really ain't that ignorant. They really aren't. They just having fun. What the hell is
no,
white boy
that's
wasted?
The term.
That's the term.
All right, white boy wasted. I'm going to break it down for the in plain language for the compassionate lawyer.
Right.
Listen, white boy wasted, no matter what race you are, it doesn't have racial guidelines. White boy wasted is when you get past drunk where you have common sense, when you get that far drunk, when you're falling down, you're outside yelling things like, hey,
right,
and stuff like that. That is white boy wasted because typically that's what a white
boy does.
A Caucasian party
would do.
Gets. That's how it gets.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Those of you out there that understand that and agree with that, hit us up. Let me know. 215-43.
Back us up, yo.
No, it's 215-609-4301. She mean that.
Oh, that was a text line I was doing. Go ahead. So right, we know so. That Al from Semerton's at a costume Halloween party.
Right.
His friend got whiteboard wasted. Al right. was the DD. What happened?
He refused. It says right, but I think he means ride. He refused to ride with me. Got into his car and hit a lady and her daughter as they were standing at the bus stop.
Goodness gracious. Go to jail. Go directly to jail. Right. Do to jail. Not pass. Go. Go ahead.
This question all is right. crazy. He said he is afraid of being sued. What should he do?
First of all, why ain't he in jail for aggravated assault or something?
Right.
Yeah. Did the lady and the little girl survive? Do we know? Al, call us and clarify this.
My issue with this is you label yourself the DD, the designated driver.
Right.
So you
right.
took on that responsibility. That was already something that was set in the beginning of the
what
night.
What does he do if this grown ass man says, I'm not getting in the car with you?
You tackle him.
He ain't supposed to have no car keys. Exactly. I'm taking your keys and leaving your drunk ass
but
right
y'all
there.
You also know if you don't live in the suburbs, those of you that have the suburban experience like I have had, you
right.
leave extra spare keys, you leave your valet key in your wallet under your floor mat. If a drunk wants to get his car, mm-hmm. he going to get his car.
Yeah, but you shouldn't. But once you give yourself that type of responsibility,
right.
I think at all costs, you are supposed to live up to it.
But at some point, adults need to be responsible for their
true
own
indeed.
Conduct.
But if they were going to be responsible in the beginning, there would have been no need for
but
him to label himself as
designated
the DD.
Driver means I'm taking all those folks that who are willing and adult enough to recognize they got a problem home. It don't mean I'm going to tackle white boy wasted dude and take his key.
This is his friend, there's though. You know he's wasted.
These are kids. These are adults. It's different if they're... I hear y'all. I don't agree. There's only so far you can go as designated driver.
I agree.
What is Al's friend's liability? Hell, he got to get past the potential criminal liability first.
Right.
Driving under the influence in Pennsylvania, we have something called aggravated assault by vehicle. Wow. We also have aggravated assault while DUI.
Wow.
And in Pennsylvania, he'd be in trouble. Jersey, I'm sure they have something similar. Is he liable
to get sued?
Sure, but hopefully he's smart enough he got insurance.
All right.
Now,
well, I think
I'm the insurance company. I'm coming after you because you're drunk. I may not cover your butt.
I think Al's question is: can the drunk guy that got into the accident sue him for
no,
not?
He can't
designated
sue
driving
no,
home.
He can't no, sue no, you. No. You ain't got no contract with him. The understanding is: I'm the designated driver. You know it. You get drunk, I'm gonna drive you home. You refuse to ride with me, that's on you. No, he can't sue.
Oh no, no, no.
Al has no liability. Al has no liability.
He is afraid of being sued. What should he do?
Who's afraid of being sued?
Al.
Al, you have
no
liability.
No, not Al. Al's friend is afraid of
being
sued.
Al's friend better be skirt.
Well, he ain't in jail.
Right. He didn't.
He must be white.
That's a whole DUI.
Oh, wow. That's more than a DUI.
Sued.
Those of you out there who have had experiences like that or who do dumb stuff like that, please don't do that. You have a designated driver. Pay attention to your designated driver.
Right.
If you don't, if you can't because you got that personality that makes you an a-hole, then damn it, stay home and get drunk.
Right. Wait, I'm pissed off.
Get
he
drunk
hit
in
a woman
house.
And a child and didn't get a DUI.
I don't give a damn if he hit a woman and a child. I don't care if he hit a woman and a child or a tree.
Right.
You
right.
are a danger to us on the streets when you white boy wasted. Stay your butt home. Al, talk to your friend. Make sure he reaches out to his insurance company and is totally honest with him. Because he's in a world of hurt for sure. For sure.
Yeah.
And
indeed.
He only has liability insurance, his car ain't going to be covered. He'll be covered up to a certain dollar amount based on his insurance policy. And if I were the woman and the child's lawyer, I'd come after him for the rest.
Jeez.
Somerton, it's like a what? Blue collar middle class neighborhood, so he got a little job. He probably got homeowners insurance, so I would go after everything he got.
Dang.
Wow.
Well,
the compassionate lawyer.
Well, compassionate but not stupid and angry because
right.
this fool put everybody in the road at risk.
At
you
risk.
Sorry.
Have you ever
some on my bitch?
Have you ever represented guys like him?
In criminal court for driving under the influence,
yeah.
I have. Mm. And
what's your defense for that?
Right.
Well, it's going to depend on a number of things. The first one is this. Was the accident the only reason that the police officers decided to do whatever it was they did, whether they drew his blood, whether they forced him to take a BAC test, a number of those things?
Mm-hmm.
Because automatically when police officers show up on the scene, the first thing they do, I smelled a lot of alcohol, so we presumed he was drunk, took him to the hospital, forcefully took his blood.
Mm. For those of y'all that don't know, BAC is blood alcohol content.
Thank you so much.
Good.
But I think in this case, because Al said he was wasted and y'all called it white boy wasted, I think we might just try to put ourselves in the best possible posture and take a plea. and try to knock off. We're gonna get us a deal.
Yeah. Ow. Yeah. He got to go ask for a deal. What deal you got for you?
Yeah. All right, tell me. All right, no, see, dude, he's in a little bit of hurt.
Yeah. Sheesh.
He's in a little bit of hurt. But those are the cases that are hard on both sides. Mm-hmm. Hard for me as a defense attorney, also hard for me knowing that he hit a woman and a child, and he didn't have to.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
You know? So it's gonna depend on his prior record, how many other prior DUIs he has, a whole number of things. So, Al, go to your friend, smack him in the face, tell him to be honest with the insurance company, because the insurance company will represent him up to a point and up to a dollar amount, and then he needs to get a real attorney because he's going to be hurting for a while.
Oh, yeah.
Indeed.
Okay. And I'm shocked, like Cheddar said, that the bull ain't in jail or at the very least having had to pay bail.
But what county was
and
this?
And facing criminal charges for goodness sake. Shit, I want to come move over there. Next question.
Wait, you know.
It might not go down like that for Black the Broke Poet. The situation might be a little different, you dig?
You be writing us from, you be writing us from.
Me and T-Mac be sitting right next to each other in the paddy wagon.
Listen,
they be talking
to us a toll-free call.
Oh.
This is Black the Broke Poet from Somerton County Jail. Hit 5-2 accept or answer deny. Next question.
You can definitely accept that.
215-609-4301.
If you got a question straight like that. 215-435-4099. The next question is from Laniqua. Wow. From around the way. She around the way, girl.
She around the
way. Around the way, could be Philly, New York. Yeah,
she's from 19th and Dolphin.
Straight like that. Yeah. No, she from Somerset.
Yeah,
her name Laniqua.
Right.
Wow. Laniqua, anyway, thank you for your comment, girlfriend. What is it?
Thanks for the love, Laniqua. I got you. All right, so let's say, listen, here's my situation. I borrowed some money from my friend, in quotation marks, to the tune of 10 grand.
You borrowed 10, okay.
So you borrowed right. 10 grand. All right, and I
Laniqua,
guess the quote.
Baby girl, first of all, I'm a little suspicious. Don't lie. Y'all, if you're telling your story to your defense attorney, criminal defense, don't lie to him.
Don't lie.
Tell him the truth, all right?
All right, so, and then this friend in quotation marks is just, what does that mean?
That means that's her sugar daddy. That's exactly what it means. Go ahead.
All right, to the tune of 10 grand, he is now threatening to get me arrested for borrowing the money. Should I be worried? I did not admit to him that I took the money and he has no... Wait.
Whoa.
Well, I did not admit to him that I took the money and he has no real proof. Help. Do I need to be ghost? She definitely from Somerset.
Oh, yeah. She from Somerset. Hold on.
So, Laniqua, your situation is, what is going on? You stole 10 grand from your old man. He can't prove you stole 10 grand from him. But he knows some money is missing, so he must be older.
Mm-hmm.
Probably ain't that many folk who have access to his money like you because you're doing it right, taking care of your business. Do you need to be ghost? For what? The lawyer in me says, shut your mouth, go about your business.
And keep it moving.
Keep it moving. The human being in me says, shame the hell on you.
Right.
Dude been giving you, taking care of you, and you just greedy. Get a job.
Pretty much.
Laniqua, baby, let it go. If he ain't got no proof on you, he do now because we just put it out on the radio.
Yeah. Right?
So let's hope and pray dude ain't listening. But thank you so much for your comment. Yeah. Laniqua, they have classes for issues that you have. Okay? Go see a therapist and stop stealing.
Right, I was about to say, it's called theft. It's called stop.
Well, Laniqua, I mean,
$1,000. Yeah. Mercy.
Laniqua, I'm Black
the
Broke.
How many blowjobs you have to do for 10 grand?
Whoa. Oh, she better call Arthur. So the job won't be that bad.
But according to Arthur, you don't blow. You do just blow on it because you can't blow it.
Just whistle.
right. Whistle while she works.
Black, next question. You got a text question?
We got a text line, but it has nothing to do with anything.
Here
on
we
show.
Go.
All right. If you went out with someone and they passed gas on the first date, would you call again?
Passing gas is a natural bodily function.
I was going
to
say.
People need to stop tripping. What's she supposed to do? I'd rather let it out and be ashamed than hold it in and feel the pain.
I was going to say that.
I'm Black the Broke Poet. I'm not calling you no more.
If you are so shallow that passing gas bothers you, then don't call her. But damn.
I'm just saying, hold up, listen.
Where'd you take her?
One at a time.
Where'd you take her to dinner, B? And what was she eating? Was she eating a whole lot of starches and stuff that is going to trigger that in you? Come on.
This is the first date.
I'm not holding it in.
No, I'm sitting at the dinner table, and you just go burr. Man, what issue with that?
I'm going to say,
I'm going to be embarrassed.
I'm going to say, excuse me.
And don't let it be funky.
I'm going to say, we really have a problem. Excuse me. But
this is rude.
I'm going to remember my manners. But I'm not calling you. That's ridiculous. Right.
I want her to be shy.
I will not be the one to call the compassionate lawyer after that date. Trust me.
What if it's one of those rumble ones?
But you can't control what it's going
to
be.
And then it just stank the whole restaurant up.
But listen, I'm supposed
to call you after that?
It's a natural bodily function, period.
Negative.
Thank you.
Whoever sent that text, God bless you. Don't be shallow. Call her and find out. Maybe she got a.
No, you supposed to go to the bathroom or something.
But
like,
maybe she was.
Why you ain't tell me that before I took you to the restaurant?
Because I didn't know.
If you got an issue, go on down there.
Some broccoli.
What she look like?
You gave me broccoli. I stood up to go to the bathroom, but happened to slip out.
Right.
What?
Yeah. How about calling you?
Wait, how old is she?
Thank you for your comment. Next question.
Oh, you're a girl woman.
We got one from
I'm not calling you no more. Not nay another again. Right. I want y'all to keep that in mind if you go out on a date with Black
and
Broke Poor.
I swear to God, you really are listening to For the People Law and Plain Language. Next question, please.
All right. I'm not dating her either.
Two times right, for Cheddar.
This from Thomas S.
Oh, no. You know what? Black is leaving the building. I'm stepping off on that one. We had time for this.
Oh, man. All right. This from Tom. It's from South Philly. South Philly. Woo, woo.
South Philly.
I need a job. Any of you know... No, why do you gotta say this? I need a job. Any of you know of anyone, any business that is hiring? I've been home now for almost a year. I screwed up and robbed the gas station with a BB gun. Trying to get money to feed my kids. I got caught. I pled guilty and I served my time. That was the first and my only arrest and conviction, but I can't catch a break. How long will I have to pay for my mistake? Doesn't my intent only to feed my kids count for something? What am I supposed to do?
Wow, Thomas, first and foremost, let me say something to you, B. I don't know if you pled guilty. I didn't hear that in your comment, but yeah. I feel you. And I agree with you to the extent that you served your time.
You took
responsibility for what you did. But in reality, the rules of our society are you break the rules. Unfortunately, you have a little bit of a ways to get back into our good graces. Yeah. Insofar as getting a job goes, I'm so sorry, but there are folks out there that don't have any convictions that can't find a job.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you that may be in Thomas's position, what I suggest that you do is go to your browser, type in Exit Us, EXIT US, or Center for Returning Citizens Philadelphia. Brother John Dye Harrell, Brother Thomas Ford, and several other nonprofits are in the business of helping brothers like Thomas reestablish themselves, get themselves back together. Thomas, I think you also made another interesting point. Shouldn't the fact that you only did what you had to do to feed your family matter, and the fact that you used a BB gun had no intention of scaring anybody? That's something your defense attorney should have used to get you a better deal, as opposed to that 5 to 10 you would have been facing had you been convicted.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Thank you so much for your comment. Those of you out there that find yourselves in Thomas's position, Exit Us or Center for Returning Citizens.
And I just want to add on to that real fast. Thomas, this is Black the Broke Poet, and I actually been in that position since I've been home, and I've been going through it over and over again. And I know what it's like to, you know, you have the programs that are out there for you, like Exodus and the Center for Return to Citizens, and you go there and you work the program, but there's nothing like needing a meal on your table today, tonight. So something that's good for returning citizens and people that have a criminal background or record is the temp agencies out there. Like Labor Ready, you can look up Labor Ready. On
ready,
time,
willing, and able too, right?
Yeah.
Ready, willing, and able. On time staffing, Marist staff. It's quite a few temp agencies out there, and their criminal background doesn't really matter at all. I mean, I've been working for temp agencies since I've been home, and honestly, you get a lot of opportunities. You may not think so, but you do. They may send you somewhere, you do good there, and your work, let your work stand for who you are, and you might just get a break.
And also, Thomas, another avenue you might want to try, Volunteer America. That's their, put that in your browser, It pops up and it'll match you as a volunteer with other agencies. And if you volunteer with enough agencies, you put yourself out there, show people you're serious and you're hungry, they might hook you up with a job.
Yeah.
It's really hard, period. It's even harder for folks like Thomas. And Thomas, have faith, B. After a certain period of time, you can apply in Pennsylvania for a pardon. Stay tuned. We'll talk about that, too. Ladies and gentlemen, right now, we're going to take a really quick break. We'll be right back.
I'm wearing it.
Let me tell you about this girl. Maybe I should. I met her in Philly. And her name was Brasha. See, we be making love constantly. That's why my eyes are a shade blood burgundy. The way that we kiss is unlike any other way that I be kissing. When I'm kissing, what I'm missing, won't you listen? Brown sugar, babe, I guess high up your love, I don't know how to be. Right down to my knees, and whenever you let me hit it, sweet like honey when it comes to me. Skin is caramel with the cocoa eyes. Even got a big sister by the name of Chocolate. Brown sugar, babe, I guess high off of love, don't know how to behave. Persistence, yo, I don't think y'all hit. Brown sugar, babe, I guess high off of love, don't know how to behave.
The people law in plain language on www.gtownradio.com. G-Town, the what?
The sound from Germantown.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let me apologize for that whole on the other side of the break. I don't know who those people were, but we killed them. They're gone. So far, since we've been talking about ignorance of the law does not protect you, we've had some interesting comments and questions. Thomas from South Philly, in his situation, he just got out of jail, did his time, been home for a year, can't catch a break. Why, he says, why doesn't his intent matter when he just went and robbed a store with a BB gun just to get food for his family? He's repented. He's trying his best. How come nobody gives him a break? We had a question from Al in Somerton, New Jersey. His friend got, I learned tonight from my fam, white boy wasted, hit a woman and a baby. His friend wants to know, should he be concerned for liability? Yeah, both criminal and civil. Do talk to your insurance company. Get yourself a criminal lawyer on retainer. We had a question from Holly from Connecticut. She moved out of state with her two girls and her partner, who's a male. They had to come back. Presumably, she meant back here to Pennsylvania, I'm presuming. Moved in with the baby daddy's mama. Now she's forbidden from the house, not being allowed to see her girls. What can she do? I say possession's 9/10 of the law. She needs to go immediately and get a custody order. And she needs to drop that deadbeat baby mama boy daddy who ain't helping her see her baby. Shame on you. Marvin just got out the joint, went in for robbery, did 10 years. Was getting SSI for schizophrenia. What he got to do to get his SSI back on? He needs to reapply to SSI, send them all the information, all of his psychiatric records from the joint, and particularly if anything has changed since he got his first qualification for SSI. Put into your browser SSI nonprofits. A whole bunch of groups will come up. Community Legal Services here in Philadelphia helps folks with either Community Legal Services or Philadelphia Legal Authority helps folks with SSI. La Niqua.
From round the way
says she stole $10,000 from her old man. He can't prove she did it. She ain't admit that she did it. Should she be ghosted? I said, you damn thief.
She ain't say she stole it, technically.
Silly. Yeah. What she said was she borrowed some money from a friend, in quotes. She stole it. Let's stop playing.
And he ain't know that I had took it.
He ain't know I had took it.
Because the key word was, I didn't admit. That was the key word, I didn't admit.
Another part of this was, he has no real proof except the missing $10,000.
Wow.
So, Lanique will stop stealing from your sugar daddies.
Yeah.
Right. Do your work and they pay you right.
And they will pay you right.
Ladies and gentlemen, the reason I titled tonight's show Ignorance of the Law is No Protection. In Pennsylvania and other states, if you look at the criminal statutes, there are, in the beginning of the statutes, Pennsylvania statutes numbers 300 under the criminal statute. It gives you all the things that you can use as sort of defenses against crimes. Mistake of law is one in certain circumstances. Ignorance of the law is not.
Okay.
So it's very, very important that you understand what your rights and responsibilities are. In the beginning, I told you I was going to do a little bit of a rant. Let me say this to y'all. Please, brothers and sisters in Philly, young black men, when you're standing out there in the neighborhoods at night, you see a police car coming. Don't run away.
Right.
They are going to use that to create nonsense, bullcrap, reasonable suspicion to say, he looked in our direction, Your Honor, and walked away quickly. We believed he was doing something, so we followed him and we stalked him. And they're going to follow you and stalk you, and invariably you're going to do something that's stupid, like throw down your bag, throw down your gun.
Right.
If you're not doing nothing wrong, don't run away when you see the police.
Yeah.
Now, there are some situations, particularly out there in West Philly, where you got the two white boys they call RoboCop. No matter what you're doing, they're going to come up on you and pat you down and search you anyway. You know what the atmosphere is out there like, y'all.
Exactly.
If you're going to play, damn it, don't be stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are going to play and be stupid, 215-972-8700. That's my number. Next question.
Straight like that, I got Heather from North Philly.
Heather, they got North white girls in North Philly?
Yeah. Straight like that. She could be black.
Heather.
Damn it.
Temple.
Heather could be black.
Temple product.
That's Heather. Temple. That's
Heather could
be
black.
How many black girls you know named
None.
Heather?
None.
With a mama named Sarah.
I know one black girl named Heather.
See, it's possible.
It's possible.
Thank you.
But she acts white. I mean, if that's a such a thing.
Okay, we
that's why her name is Heather.
That's part of our racial roundtable part
I said
two.
That's a
why
such
black
thing.
People think black folk can't speak the English and have to be white.
Because we don't.
That's going to be part two.
Because we about it.
What's the
damn
question?
Damn it. All right, Heather from North Philly. All right, this seems to be a pretty serious question, so let's tone it down a little bit.
All right.
It says, I am now 32. I was raped over and over by my stepfather starting at age 12 until I left the house to go to college at age 18.
Let me stop you there. Heather, baby, please tune in next week. Our show is adult male survivors of childhood sexual abuse. We're going to have two male guests on the show. One is CEO of a nonprofit who caters to folks who are now adults that survived childhood sexual abuse. And his name is Brett, and I have to go onto the website and check it out. But check out our Facebook page. Sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead.
All right, so just to begin again, I am now 32. I was raped over and over by my stepfather starting at age 12 until I left the house to go to college at age 18. I never told anyone about it. My mother had her own issues with pills, and my brothers are criminals. I thought I had it under control since I haven't thought about it for years. Now all of a sudden I started having flashbacks and have turned into someone I don't recognize. I find myself falling into a state of depression or something. I need to get it together. So it sounds like Heather's just finning.
Heather, I think what you're experiencing, if you talk to the professionals, I was in foster care and I was also sexually assaulted often. And one of the things that I did, the Army helped me toughen up my outer skin. Okay. And so I just compartmentalized all that and ignored it. Sitting in law school, my first year, I started having these vivid daydreams. And when I got into therapy, my therapist told me, your mind is a powerful instrument, and once it realizes you're in a safe intellectual place, it will allow itself to unlock some of those things that it kept from you. Right. So what you're going through, Heather, if you talk to experts, you're going to find out is a natural sort of progression, because perhaps now you're in a place where your mind says you're safe and you can now deal with this. What I suggest that you do is please seek some professional help.
Yeah.
Indeed.
If you're black, let go of that old bullshit that black people say, oh, you're not crazy, you don't need a therapist. Right. Therapists don't deal with crazy people because they go to the hospital.
Right.
Therapists help us deal with our everyday stuff that impacts us in a way we're not ready for.
Exactly. Right.
One of the things that I would suggest that you start with that I did in law school when I started having these flashbacks, I wrote letters to all those sons of guns who did what they did to me. I didn't send them, but it let me get some of that out. Let me just vent that.
Right, right.
So perhaps try that, but please seek some help. Type into your browser. There's so many support groups out there. Adult survivors of childhood sexual abuse, please type into your browser that and look for some support groups. And there's some chat rooms too. There's actually a Facebook page for our guests next week, and I'm going to ask that Cheddar or Black find that for us. Heather, thank you for your bravery in sending that question to us. Please, if you want to get some one-on-one, reach out to me. My email is Deborah, D-E-B-R-A, at DeborahRaineyLaw.com. My last name is spelled R-A-I-N-E-Y. And I will turn you on to some therapists. And by the by, next week we're going to have a clinician in studio with us. Her name is Anne. Damn, Anne. I can't remember Anne's last name, but I'll get that off for you. So, Heather, God bless you. Anyone else out there that's going through what Heather's gone through, you know someone else who's going through it, please reach out and give them a helping hand.
Yeah.
Help them, talk them into getting. You need professional help at this point, Heather, because your body's letting you know you can't deal by yourself.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Thanks, Heather. Wow. All right. Next question is from Jack from Washington, D.C.
Hold on. How do we, as a society, still let this still happen? You can't tell me from 12 to 18 that nobody knew what was going on.
But maybe she wasn't saying nothing.
She don't
maybe
have she... to. Her body language is going to let you know that. We all can tell from people that we know when they're going through something, their behavior changes.
Yeah. Well, maybe
why do we not get involved?
What we do is we blame it on other things, and it becomes a state of denial.
But this just
she's at that age where she acts like this is a teenage thing.
12 to 18, right? That's the age where you start acting out a little bit. And you start changing emotionally.
Right. And then you have something that traumatic happening to you. What you expect to see from a 12-year-old is going to be different.
Exactly.
True. School. Somebody somewhere knew something was going down.
And then she probably kept it quiet because
burns me up that no one did anything about it.
It's that fear of, like, who's going to believe me?
The biggest issue is shame. Yeah. I never told anybody because I felt like I did something wrong, and I was 5. What the hell do I know at 5?
Right.
Heather, baby, you're not alone. No matter what you are, what traumatic event you've gone through, the biggest thing that we all experience is shame. Mm-hmm. We're ashamed either because we let it happen to us or because it happened, period. The shame needs to go on the son of a guns who did this. And who, if she said it was her step, I hope he's in jail.
I hope he's in
jail. Or he's getting some therapy for the sick ass shit that he's
doing. That sounds like she still hasn't really said anything about it.
Wow. But guaranteed, if he did it to her, he did it to somebody else.
He did it to somebody else.
And those of you out there, if you're experiencing it, understand and keep this in mind. If you need a motivation for letting it out, if you don't, the next person behind you is going to get it. Mm-hmm. If you're in a position where you can't do anything, think about the person behind you who's just as vulnerable.
Right.
Next question.
Straight like that. This question is from Jack from Washington, D.C.
D.C.
Jack in the bean shop.
Shout out to Jack from D.C. All right. This message is actually for Cheddar.
Okay.
It says,
put.
It says, what is your name? Miss Rainey calls you Cheddar, but the website shows.
Miss Rainey, am I that old?
Miss Rainey. Miss Rainey calls you Cheddar, but the website shows your on-air personality as Lady Go Hard. Which one is it? What is the Lady Go Hard about? Does it describe some hard times you went through?
Wow. Thank you, Jack. Jack must good be crushing. Jack. Right.
Crushing.
Jack crushing on Cheddar.
About what?
Jack, let me.
What's that about, girl?
Let me clarify something. Jack, she got the Cheddar moniker from me. We were in a meeting or something. I had just met her. Tomorrow was too hard for me to say because I was being ignorant and lazy, and I just threw Cheddar in there.
Right.
So that was all me.
Right.
And what's the Lady Go Hard about?
Lady Go Hard is actually the name that I use when I'm doing poetry. I actually got that from a guy named Doughboy. And it's when I first started doing.
Stop it. Doughboy's Ice Cube and Boys in the Hood.
No, his name was Doughboy, for real.
Wow.
Yeah, I got it from him because I was starting off as Boogie because that's my nickname around the hood. So he was like, I'm not calling you that. And then I actually did a freestyle. He said, you know what? That was decent. That was dope. That was, yo, you Lady Go Hard. And then I stuck with it from there.
Oh, good. Cool. Jack, thank you. Fly. And unfortunately for you, Jack, good. Cheddar's a lesbian.
Wow.
He was definitely crushing.
He was crushing.
But she's on the other side, Jack.
Next question.
Won't work. All right, this question is from Joanna from Seattle, Washington.
Hi, Joanna. Seattle's a beautiful wet city.
What?
Wait.
Deb, you lost me, Deb. Deb, I'm sorry.
She needs to know.
Rewind.
Rewind.
The last 30 seconds, T
Macaroni
goes, she's on the other side. And that was a beautiful one.
Right. Right. Wow. Wait. This is crazy.
If you've ever visited Seattle, it rains quite a bit.
Okay.
And that's what I mean by a wet.
We are focused, ladies and gentlemen.
Take your minds out there. Yeah, y'all, I swear to God, this is a legal talk show.
Yes, it is.
Hit us up, 215-609-4301. Hit the text line
215-435-4099.
Tweet us at FTP Law. Hit the Facebook page For the People Law in Plain Language.
Straight like that. So Joanna says, why are lawyers such scum?
Joanna, baby, ease up a little bit. Ease up. Hold up now.
I knew that was going to strike a chord.
I look right at Deb like, hey. Wow.
You going to answer that?
Say that again.
Wow. It says, why are lawyers such scum?
Really, really fast, and Heather. There's something called Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Network, capital RAINN. It's rain.org. Adult survivors of child sexual abuse. It's a website that says get help, get information. Survivors of childhood sexual abuse experience an array of overwhelming and intense feelings. The feelings include fear, guilt, and shame. So, Heather, there is a website out there for anyone else listening who this applies to. It's RAINN, Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Network, rain.org.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
All right, so back to Joanna's question or her statement about, you know, scumbag lawyers.
Joanna, baby, all y'all out there, when you're inclined to send us stuff, keep in mind who you're talking to. Yeah. Right. See, I'm inclined to throw that in the garbage.
Right.
But go ahead, read it.
We're going to let Joanna speak, though. She has something to say.
Speechify.
So it says, they take your money, then they ignore you, and force pleas down everyone's throat. I hired several lawyers to represent my son in the case where he was charged with drug dealing. All three of these lawyers told me something different. I went to the second lawyer because the first lawyer never showed up in court. Wow. The second lawyer was a lying piece of crap, and he kept telling me and my son something different. The third lawyer was cool, but by the time he came in, there was nothing he could do. The other lawyers did not prepare the case, and the judge would not give him, the third lawyer, time to get ready. The system sucks, and lawyers are the worst. The system has suffered.
Okay. I'm going to answer this from two vantage points. First, I'm going to answer it with my professional defense attorney hat on. And I'm going to say this to you, Joanna. First and foremost, all of you, when you hire an attorney, if you are not the person that I'm representing, you're not my client.
Right.
You haven't given me the money doesn't really mean much when it comes to the attorney-client relationship. It sounds a little bit to me, Joanna, like you tried to insert yourself in the defense, in the relationship between your son and the lawyer, and the lawyer was skirt, didn't know how to act, and sort of decided he wasn't going to come to court because you probably wasn't going to do anything about it. You probably did not do the necessary research you probably should have done to figure out who this lawyer was and what he's about. Every state has a bar association. You can call that bar association, ask them if this lawyer's had complaints levied against them. If so, what kind of complaints? Or go onto your browser and put in Supreme Court of that state. Pennsylvania, for example, you type in your website, your browser, Disciplinary Board of the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. It pops up. You can type in a lawyer's last name. If that lawyer's had complaints against him, those complaints will pop up. Now, with respect to lawyers forcing pleas down your throat, unfortunately, some of my brethren do that. And unfortunately, some of my brethren do that. And those that do that suck. I agree with you. But a plea agreement is designed to, for defense attorneys, to put our client in the best possible posture. Think back to that question about Al's friend from Somerton, who was white boy wasted,
right?
Hit the lady and her baby. He taking a plea.
Okay.
Right.
But the plea should be designed in such a way to minimize his ultimate exposure to incarceration or whatever. I'm sorry that you had the experience that you had. And something Dane Gray said last week when he was here, it's not the system that's broken, it's the people involved in the system. If more people would stand up and make it known that the lawyers are doing certain things, then maybe, just maybe, people stop giving those same lawyers their money.
But now,
what drives me crazy, I'm sorry, is oftentimes I'll be hired after some other lawyer has stepped in and done things that probably weren't right.
Mm-hmm.
The clients will come to me, black folk, right, and want to pay me a third of what they paid that other lawyer, who not probably black, probably.
Right.
And want me to work 50 times as hard. Okay, F you.
Right.
When I first opened, I did that to get my name out there.
Right.
I would still do it now depending on how you come at me.
Right.
But ladies and gentlemen, just like you have a responsibility to know who the candidates are in an election, you also have a responsibility to get a little bit of an education about the process you are entering. I'm not saying you should know the law as it relates to drug dealing. No. What I'm saying is go down to the courthouse wherever you're about to go and watch.
Right.
Your court case is coming up in 2 weeks. You're not working. Run your butt down there. Figure out what courtroom and judge you're going to be in front of and watch that person.
Mm-hmm.
See what's going on. Be on your lawyer's butt. Lawyers, especially me, I suck at writing for my guys that are in custody. They know I'm going to write you as soon as I can. They get upset and get discouraged. As soon as I hear my voice, Deb, I just want to hear from you. I'm so sorry. I'm just really busy. No excuse, but it's real.
Right.
And I tell them that from the door.
Right.
You're not going to hear from me all the time. I'm going to let you know when there's something new.
Right.
But it doesn't stop you from continuing to call me.
Right.
It doesn't stop you from having your people call me. They're going to get the same shit.
Right.
And hopefully Deb ain't hormonal and going to cuss them out.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is be a part of the process.
Right.
Don't sit back and presume that folks are going to do the things that they tell you they're going to do unless they've shown you that.
Right.
Most of my clients, once they see me in court, see what I do, they can handle a little bit more not hearing from me.
Right.
Because they've seen me at the preliminary hearing. They've seen me at the motion to suppress. Now they know I'm ready for trial.
Right.
And most of them will say to me, inevitably, Miss Deb, you know what? Thank you. I see you got me. You good.
Right.
And some of them will send me, especially my repeat clients, Deb, I know it's going to be about 6 months before I hear from you, but here's what I need.
Right.
And it ain't that long, but they trying to be funny, and I write back to them. Deborah, the individual, the person, I'm going to say to you, you gave your money to that lawyer. Damn it, demand he do what he's supposed to do for you.
Exactly.
And those two lawyers that screwed you over the first time, you need to find out in whatever jurisdiction you're in. Fee Dispute Committee, Pennsylvania has one. You can write to them and say, I gave this man this much money. He didn't do what he was supposed to do. I want my money back.
Right.
The fee dispute will send a packet to the lawyer and say, this person has said they want their money back because they paid you this and you didn't do this. The lawyer has two options. They can agree to arbitration. Go be in front of an arbitrator and try to work it out. They can say, sorry, no, I'm not interested. But at least make those efforts to try to get yourself back to a position where you recognize lawyers are humans too.
Yeah.
They really are.
Indeed.
And what strikes me, Deb, you know, real quick, it strikes me, stuff like that I kind of take, you know, I mean, me as a comedian, I would tell this person, number one, clearly drugs is not working out for you because you need lawyer after lawyer. So, I mean, if you see it's not working, just clearly stop. But my thing, my whole issue with that comment was you quickly say that lawyers are scumbags, but you're not looking in the mirror and looking at yourself.
But it wasn't her son.
Well, her son. He needs to look in the mirror because clearly you keep
responsibility for what he did.
Yeah, and he keep needing a lawyer. So you need to stop doing stuff to need a lawyer.
Moms put him in a position that said, baby, whatever you do, I got you. And we understand why particularly black moms are inclined to do that, do we not? They're inclined to hold on to their... Because let's be honest. It's hard as hell to raise a young black man.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Single. It's hard especially as hell. Single. Especially right. Single.
Does it excuse what he did? No, but remember, our system says you're presumed innocent, so we don't even know if he did that.
Yeah.
More than likely, he probably did.
He probably did. He needed a couple lawyers. If he needed 3 or 4 lawyers, he did it.
Right.
Listen, 215-972-8700.
I thought she was going to say the station number. Hit us up live at 215-609-4301.
Next question. All right, I got a question from Key from West Philly.
West Philly.
Yeah.
West Philly in the hell.
I mistakenly listened to my court-appointed attorney who told me to plead guilty to a misdemeanor.
Beat on Lawyer's Day?
Probably.
The legal lawyers out there listening to my boys, please reach out to me. Call me up.
All right. Call in and help out that. All right. And decent assault.
Shout out to Jazzy One from Lesbian Real. Shows heard every second and fourth Tuesday. Here on G-Town Radio, Jazzy sent me an email, a text message. Excellent show topics. Listen to Lesbian Real every second and fourth Thursday of the month. They should be coming on this Thursday at 7 o'clock.
I'm going to check it out, too.
Shout out.
My court-appointed attorney did not tell me that this type of conviction makes me a Megan's Law reporter for the next 15 years. I live with my mom.
Wow.
With my mom, and she always gives out candy on Halloween. My PO told me that if my mom intends to give out candy this year, I have to leave the house and go somewhere else because I can't be around kids. Is this true? What can I do about this?
Well, baby, that's a loaded question, and but let me put my ignorant hat on for a minute.
Yeah.
You sick son of my bitch.
Right.
Hold on. In this day and age, 2013, you find yourself, number one, charged with a crime that in our society, amongst our criminals, you are shit on the bottom of their shoes. You have some sort of self-responsibility to figure out what you're facing. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Those of you out there that stop blaming your damn court-appointed lawyer.
Exactly.
Stop blaming your lawyer, period. It's up to you to make sure you understand what the hell is going on. In Pennsylvania courts, throughout the state of Pennsylvania, in this nation, you are given what's called a colloquy. It's either oral or in writing or both. And it says, for all intents and purposes, this. I understand I have a constitutional right to a trial. I understand that by pleading guilty, I'm giving up my right to a trial. Mm-hmm. In giving up my right to a trial, I'm giving up the right to demand that the Commonwealth or the state or whoever the hell is prosecuting you prove my guilt beyond a reasonable doubt of these charges. If you don't understand any part of that colloquy, damn it, stop the goddamn colloquy. Say to the judge or your lawyer, yo, I don't understand. But don't sit there and go through that colloquy and turn around 6 months later and say your lawyer forced to plead down. Stop it. I'm not buying that. Now, Megan's Law is different. Megan's Law changed since SORNA came down, which is the Federal Sex Offender Registration Notice Act. And what did that do? Crimes that didn't before require Megan's Law registration, SORNA came down and then made all those crimes require registration.
Right.
They went from the first time being 15 years. Now some are 15, some are 25, some are lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
That I can say, if you didn't understand that, you might want to reach out to a lawyer who specializes in appeals and use that reason as a grounds for filing a motion to withdraw your guilty plea. But you need to go to the courthouse, wherever you pled guilty at, ask to get the record of conviction, the file of the conviction, and if there is a written colloquy in that file that says everything I just said, I understand my right to go to trial, I understand that if I went to trial, the Commonwealth would have to prove my guilt beyond a reasonable doubt, I understand I'm entitled to a jury of my peers, and they have to return a verdict that's unanimous, either guilty or not guilty, you hit.
Mm-hmm.
So, those of you out there that are facing potential Megan's Law convictions, it is real, y'all. Indecent assault suggests that you touch somebody in Pennsylvania for your own sexual gratification or someone else's. Unfortunately, it includes a smack on the butt.
Right.
It used to did not trigger Megan's Law. Now it triggers 15 years registration under Megan's Law.
Wow.
If you're facing any manner of a sexual assault or sexual offense conviction, type into your browser Pennsylvania Megan's Law. Read up on it. Call me, 215-972-8700. Take some responsibility. At the end of the day, it's your future. Stop blaming your court-appointed attorney.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Court-appointed attorneys, stop not clarifying shit to your client.
Mm-hmm.
If you're doing that, shame on you. We all know that the state of the city of Philadelphia pays us $650 for a felony. You knew that when you took it. If it's not enough, damn it, don't do it.
Right.
But ladies and gentlemen, it's your future, not your lawyers. You need to make sure that you knowingly, voluntarily, and intelligently enter into this plea. If you don't understand something, you stop and say, I don't understand. Most of the time, guys are insisting, I'm going to trial. Their lawyer says to them, you go to trial, dude, you're going to get convicted, and you're going to go to jail for 200 years. If that's the risk you want, then you stand your ground, go to trial.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed.
But don't whine and moan and groan when you don't.
Mm.
Okay, sorry, I ranted. Next question.
Yeah, that's all right. You can wild good. Out. All right, this good. Question is from...
Did I answer the question, dude asked?
Yeah.
I don't think I think I was just screaming.
No, okay. No, it was good.
You did. All right. You answered.
Look, she got every lawyer back.
Right.
Listen, this question is from Derek from Delaware County, PA.
D-Ware.
D-Ware. What's right. Delaware County? Oh, the Upper Darby, Darby. Chester. Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right, so it says, I retained a lawyer for a car accident more than 4 years ago. I signed a contingency fee agreement. I had
those of you that don't know what a contingency fee agreement is, that means a lawyer's going to get paid once you get paid. If you don't get paid, and let me correct some a myth out there, y'all. People presume that if the lawyer doesn't get you a settlement, that you don't pay the lawyer. Bullshit. The lawyer can still ask you for a small fee to cover his or her expenses for having put that trial up.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, the fee doesn't get collected unless they win for you and they take a percentage. Usually it's between 35% to 40% before trial, 40% to 45% at the time of trial. Go ahead.
All right. It says, I had a disposition a few years ago, but I have not heard from my lawyer. I saw the lawyer who deposed me at a local clothing store, and she told me she sent my lawyer a settlement check a year and a half ago. The bastard ripped me off. What can I do? I want him hung by the balls.
Wow. You're in a predicament there, young fella.
Wow.
And the predicament is this. Anytime you want to sue somebody, contract actions in Pennsylvania, 4 years. Tort actions like personal injury, fraud, things like that, 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Your time is running down fast. I would suggest the first thing you do is go to the office of that lawyer, right? Bang on that door and ask that lawyer where your money is.
Right. Mm-hmm.
If you don't get no satisfaction that way, then you need to call the Pennsylvania Disciplinary Board and complain that that man took your money and didn't pay you. But you also need to verify and clarify from the attorney for the other side when they sent that check and the amount that they sent that check, and go so far as to see if they're willing to give you a copy of the cancel check,
right,
or a copy of the settlement letter or something to suggest that it was sent. I'm so sorry that you went through that.
Could it be something in the contract that says I'm going to take your entire check?
No, that's illegal and it's unethical. Strike that. It's not illegal. It's unethical. But it does happen because sometimes lawyers will spend three or four more times in charges to prosecute the claim than what they get. For example, car accident, relatively healthy person, you might get $30,000, right? Uh-huh. I might spend $17,000, $18,000 to $25,000 depositions, doing this and doing that. That comes off the top. Then I take out my fee.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
So if you got $30,000, I'm taking out whatever my costs are first, then my contingency fee, and then you get the balance.
Wow.
Should it ever happen, if it does happen to you, the first thing you do is ask that lawyer for an accounting. I want to know everything that you billed me for.
Exactly.
Because I want to know why I get a $30,000 settlement and I got $2,000.
Wow. Okay.
So, young man, you need to get on that. You need to try to reach out to the lawyer who told you they settled it. And you also need to call that lawyer that represented you, send him a letter, certified return receipt. Where the hell's my money?
Yeah.
And reach out to the Pennsylvania Disciplinary Board. Go ahead, Bill.
And get you another lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
ASAP.
Call Deb.
But all remember, right. Well, see, I didn't say call Deb for that one because here's the problem. Whatever that money you're going to get, then I'm going to tap into it. So right. For that situation, I think you try it yourself because every lawyer that you hire is going to want to get their money's worth, right?
Indeed. Indeed.
That is true.
All right, the next question is from Angelo from Florida.
Angelo must be Italian.
Angelo, that's Cuban.
He's Cuban.
All right, so Angelo smuggles things from Cuban to Miami. I'm joking. All right, so. So I was born and raised for the most part in Philadelphia. Moved down here to Florida about 10 years ago, but remain an avid Eagles fan.
Go Birds!
I entered an office.
Fly, Eagles, fly. Fly. You are sucking. No, go ahead. Sorry.
Right. It says I entered an office football pool and bet on my Birds. I won, and everybody knows I won. The guy at the office in charge of the pool refused to pay me. Can I sue him? Well, but what game was that, Angelo? All right, I'm joking.
So they must have bet on the first game that we played and won against the Redskins.
Yeah, you bet on the Redskins games. We
or
got you.
Or the Jacksonville game, not Tampa Bay Buccaneers game that we right. won, or the Giants game that we won.
Oh, right. Gosh.
Let me say two things. Gambling is illegal unless you're in a state that is legal, right?
Indeed.
Now, if in y'all had some manner of an oral contract where he said, you do A, I'll do B, and here's what you get, you might be able to, you know.
Well, the pool.
For an angle of violation of the contract. But let's be real, the office pool is gambling.
Yeah. Right. But it's on paper, though. Like, that's a paper trail.
No, because right. hopefully the boss that was running it was smart enough to throw that shit away.
Oh.
Angelo, let me say this to you. I think in this instance you can get more flies with honey than with poop in this case. In other words, be nice to the guy. Dude, listen. You know and I know I won. Everybody know I won. Give me my money. Or you ain't gonna get nobody else to participate in that what you're doing.
Pretty much.
Reach out to the Bar Association in your county in Florida. Find out if office pooling is legal or not. You can always reach out to nonprofit legal groups and ask them questions like that. I don't know gambling laws in Florida. I know in Pennsylvania you can gamble in casinos. You can gamble when you buy the lottery tickets. Everything else, you can't sue somebody for engaging in illegal activity. So if the office pool amounts to illegal gambling, no, you can't sue.
Right.
If it doesn't, you have an argument for violation of the contract. But let's be honest. How much money you win? $200? I mean,
you're going to pay a lawyer
$500 more, but $500 or more to represent you.
Because I used to play the pools at one of my prior jobs. I'm not even going to put it out there. But if you hit on four games, you can see up to like $10,000. So they get
okay, Angelo, if you looking at $10,000, 215-972-8700.
Right, get your money.
All right, and our last comment of the night, ladies and gentlemen, is from Erica from Delaware again.
D-word.
All right, a friend of mine recommended that I listen to your podcast, and I instantly fell in love with the grittiness and the realness of the show.
Well, thank you, Erica. Good luck and good luck.
I was impressed by Miss Renee, the producer, and all that she has endured, yet still she stands. She is a testament of internal fortitude and perseverance.
Wow.
God indeed. Bless you, Miss Renee.
Wow. Erica, straight thank like you so that. Much. That's simply love. The producer, that's somebody love. Like you.
Her name ain't Portia. That's
and I, oh
I like
God.
You, producer.
And I think that more people and those of us in the studio also agree with Erica's sentiments. But let's be honest, I think that's the nature of minority women in general.
Yeah.
We endure a lot more than what others endured, and we have to go through it. And unfortunately, our girl Heather is at that pinnacle where her endurance is starting to break down. Heather, please seek some help. Anybody in Heather's position, R-A-I-N-N. Ladies and gentlemen, the reason I titled this particular show, Ignorance of the Law Doesn't Protect You, because it does not, right? You are not expected as an everyday citizen to know the ins and outs and the actual definitions or terms within a statute. But damn it, you need to know what's right and what's wrong so that you won't be in a position of that lady in Seattle whose baby keeps selling drugs and getting busted, and she has to keep having 5,000 lawyers take her money and not get no relief. Or the gentleman who says his court-appointed lawyer forced a plea down his throat. Ignorance of the law doesn't protect you. You need to make sure that your lawyer is explaining shit to you in a way that you understand.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to hear this, oh, he's too busy, oh, he does that, oh, he does this. Even if you just see your lawyer today in court, I'm going to be honest with y'all. A preliminary hearing in Pennsylvania, a show cause hearing, I'm not doing no investigation. I'm so sorry. Because the only reason a preliminary hearing exists is for the DA's office in Philly to show the state how strong their case is.
Exactly.
I will talk to the client and the family when they hire me and say, here's what's going to happen. At a trial, that's different.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to prep the trial. You're going to give me the information I need. I'm going to do my investigation, and we're going to go from there. Mm-hmm. But you have a responsibility, before you say, I plead guilty, to understand what the hell you're pleading guilty for. Anybody that signs up as a designated driver, I disagree with my family in one point. You agree that you're going to make sure that folks have a safe way home, but you're not agreeing to be the babysitter of some grown-ass man who decides to be an asshole and not listen.
True that.
If you have a designated driver, listen to him. Or damn it, guess what? Take the consequences that come, and I hope you don't, because one of us might be endangered by your
or hurting yourself. Right, or hurting yourself.
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, since 2013, stop drinking and driving. That don't even make no sense.
It make no sense.
Come on, now. That don't even make no sense.
Anything.
Except
wow, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for all those folks that sent in their comments, email, text us. Shout out to Let's Be Real, Jazzy One, Tuesdays from 2 to 4. The second, strike that. Well, I suck. The second and fourth Thursdays of every month here on G-Town Radio from 7 to 8, Let's Be Real Radio. Immediately following this show, it keeps going, The Broken Truth Show.
Broken Truth.
Hosted by Black, a.k.a. The Broke Poet.
Yes. Yes.
Co-hosted by Truth. Mary, Truth Serum.
Truth Serum.
Pets. Papa Pitts is a bedroom door shut. Also co-starring T Macaroni and
Ain't a damn thing phony.
DJ Swift.
DJ Swift on the ones and twos.
Really quickly, Black, tell me a little bit about what's going down on this episode of The Broken Truth Show.
So y'all know y'all got to stay tuned. Keep it locked right after For the People, Law and Plain Language is The Broken Truth Show. And tonight, we're going to have a poetry cipher. We just going to have a couple of poets in here giving y'all piece after piece. So bring your wine and bring your cheese.
And bring what's it called? Y'all told me.
Reggie?
Bring your Reggie. Bring your loud
packs. Bring the loud packs. No quiet.
Do not forget November 5th. Get your butt to your poll and vote. Polls open at 7, close at 8. Really quickly, another announcement. Someone passed this out to me in Center City. I thought it was interesting. Y'all should hear it. Tell Governor Corbett having no health insurance is scary. Rally to expand Medicaid on Halloween Thursday, October 31st at noon. Outside of Governor Corbett's office at the Bellevue Hotel at Broad and Walnut. Halloween theme, bring a costume. Governor Corbett is denying up to 700,000 people, God bless, health insurance by refusing to expand Medicaid.
Wow.
Living without health insurance is scary. Tell your friends and family to come on out and demand that Governor Corbett expand Medicaid now. If you have a costume, wear it. This is sponsored by the Philadelphia Unemployment Project, 112 North Broad Street, 11th floor, www.philaup.org. Ladies and gentlemen, it's over to Sister Black.
Street like that. I just had the poetry bag I just found at the day in the station, so I just pulled one out of there. I'm just now seeing what it is. So, all right, this piece is called Painkillers. Straight like that. Yeah, we real spontaneous like that tonight.
Yeah, I see.
She just pulled a painkiller out of her
pain. Yeah, I just pulled I just pulled a piece out the bag. This is how I feel it. I roll on the spot with it. All right, so painkillers. You know what? All right, I'm out. I'm joking. I wouldn't even do that to y'all. All right, so. Creepy crawlers, streetwalkers, and zombie-like beings. Selling every damn thing that ain't nailed to the cement. Awful little bag that the man holds in the pocket of his trousers for the fiend to devour and further destroy the matters of his brain in order to feel the power of that powder cocaine. Cooked to a solid form in flame, easing through his brains to temporarily heal the pain. 30 years old with the image of his mid-60s. Soulless is the man, the pit of his eyes empty. The father of three that he ain't seen since he made friends with the well-dressed men with the little packages of sin that they inject in him in order to feel the power of that powder cocaine cooked to a solid form in flame easing through his veins to temporarily heal the pain. Constant memories of a family unknown to him, disowned to him, they no longer belong to him. Neglected by his own offspring, rotted to the core of is his brain, but his heart is in search of rehabilitation, in search of acceptance in this nation, in search of just a smile or maybe a little conversation that isn't degrading. But it's a cold world, and his only power is in that powder cocaine, cooked to a solid form and flame, easing through his veins that temporarily healed the pain. To my dismay and his disdain, he doesn't know that it'll never kill the pain. So I padlock him away in the highest floors of the house. I sit and watch him detox as he rocks back and forth in cold sweats, and crack pours from his pores as he fights the urge to feel the power of that powdered cocaine, cooked to a solid form and flame, easing through his veins to temporarily heal the pain. I smile and give him a little conversation that isn't degrading. I tell him I forgive him for missing so many birthdays and graduations. And the sun is still shining even when it rains. And I know it needed something to try and kill the pain. And everybody hits rock bottom and everybody stumbles and falls. But next time, Dad, you should try Tylenol. I know I might not have the power of that powder cocaine. It might not be cooked to a solid form in flame. But it'll keep me around and I can heal your pain. It might not be that... And I not be able to take you on that cocaine thriller, but I can introduce you to a new painkiller. It's called love. Straight like that.
Wow, that's how we do it for the people on Plain Language. Be ready for the broken truth, the poetry. Yeah. What?
The poetry powerhouse.
Powerhouse.
Powerhouse. What you mean?
Poetry's cipher. It's a poetry cipher.
Ladies and gentlemen, check out The Broken Truth Show, Let's Be Real, For the People on Plain Language. All the great shows on G-Time Radio. Go to www.gtownradio.com. Ladies and gentlemen, that's our time. Say bye, fam.
Bye bye, family.
We out.
Information presented on For the People is provided as general legal information. The general legal information is intended to inform consumers, is not intended to substitute for specific legal advice as it relates to the listener's specific legal issue. Consumers are cautioned not to rely on the general legal information broadcast on For the People as legal advice. No attorney-client relationship is created, intended, or implied between the consumers of For the People and Deborah Rainey Esquire, the compassionate lawyer, or the law office of Deborah D. Rainey. Please consult with an attorney for your specific legal issue.